Second Chronicles chapter 1, commencing our reading at the verse 7. This is God's holy word. Let us hear together. That night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people, this thy people, that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast yet asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after thee have the like. We turn now to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 9. And we read the verses 1 to the verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 to the verse 8. Again, this is God's holy word. Let us hear together. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 to the verse 8. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company. Camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. The queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the meat of his table, sitting of his servants and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his accent by which he went up in ascent, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said unto the king, It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, of the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel, to establish them forever. Therefore made thee he the king over them, to do judgment and justice. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let us now turn to the New Testament. The Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 12. The Gospel of Matthew and the 12th chapter. We commence our reading the verse 22. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 22, reading to the verse 50. This is God's word again. Let us hear. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods? Except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. He answered and said unto him, told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, add his blessing to the public reading. of his most infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all to God's glory and to the good of our needful souls here tonight. Amen. Well, dear friends, let me ask you now to please turn your prayerful attention to the words that I read to you there in Matthew chapter 12. We read that passage concerning Lord Jesus Christ as he is speaking to the religious leaders of his day. The Lord Jesus Christ has done things that have never been done here on earth. No man ever spake such as this man, and no man ever did the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, giving veracity and proof, credence to the very fact that he is God sent from heaven, even the Son of God. And with the Lord's gracious enabling this evening, take for my text the words that we find in the 42nd verse. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here. Now, many people even today underestimate who and what Solomon was. We have great tycoons today. We have very wealthy businessmen. Some of them we could name, I suppose, some of the richest men, some of the most wealthy men and well-known. But what marks Solomon out from all the rest of men in this world, and the Lord Jesus, is that spiritual wisdom that God gave him. There are many wealthy businessmen, many movers and shakers, many brilliant men. But what marks them out from that of Solomon, and one greater than Solomon, is matters of eternity, not just matters of time, but spiritual matters, things concerning Almighty God, whom one day we shall stand before. Solomon was a great, great leader. That is unquestionable. Vast treasures of his wealth were still being discovered some 500 years after his death. They were still finding great deposits of gold. He had a vast empire that stretched all the way deep far into the east and to the west. Solomon was a man endued with the wisdom of God. And he knew that tremendous wisdom, the wisdom of Christ, that one would set upon his throne an everlasting king. In fact, we read of it there in 2 Chronicles. This was Solomon's desire, as was David's desire, that the Savior would come. David was a great king. Solomon was a great king. But these men saw in and of themselves all they were puny little men before the infinite God of heaven and earth, whom we have to do. These men were great sinners, as all people are in this world. All the great movers and shakers, the owner of Amazon, the owner of Tesla, these great men, Microsoft, you can think of the great big companies today. Who and what are they? They will all stand before the throne of Jesus Christ and give an account of their lives. Their vast treasures will be taken away from them at the end of their life. They cannot take a thing from this world. Now, what marks our text here is that the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, went to see Solomon, for she heard of the wisdom that God, not man, but God had endued this man with. And the condemnation to this generation is that a greater than Solomon has appeared. Even the creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, has appeared, proved himself to be the Son of God, and having infallible rule and power, and jurisdiction over all things, including nature, and able to raise men from the dead, has just performed a mighty miracle here. One was brought to him that was blind and possessed with a devil. Notice verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And what did they accuse the eternal Son of God with? Doing these things in league with Beelzebub, the devil. Blasphemy against Almighty God. He is doing these things by the Spirit of God. This is why he says, blasphemy against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, shall not be forgiven. And what was worse is that this generation asked for another sign. Look, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Oh, but he's just performed miracle after miracle. You see, the problem is the human heart. This is the big issue. The human heart. That of unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. There was infallible evidence here. There was plenty of empirical evidence. Empirical evidence is not the problem. The problem is the human heart. The heart is averse to the Son of God. The heart is averse with the truth. It will not hear the truth. It will not want to receive it because it does not want to answer to the truth. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Men will not come to the light, said the Lord Jesus. These are not my words. That's what he said. Why will they not come to the light? Because they love darkness. Because they love their sin. Men will come up with all sorts of excuses why not to believe. But there was the Queen of Sheba. She traveled an immense way to see Solomon. She said she didn't believe the half. She didn't believe these things until she saw with her eyes. And many people say that seeing is believing. And that's true. But she had heard of these things. She had heard the testimony of others. But there was a problem, wasn't there? She had no reason to, as it were, not receive the truth. But what did she do? She went all the way. Although she said she didn't believe quite everything, she examined. You know, if you're in earnest, you will examine. Otherwise, the answer is, you see, you don't want to know the truth. That's the real problem. People don't want to read the scriptures. People don't want to search these things out. Why is it so important? Your eternity, my eternity, rests on it. That's why truth really matters. Because your never dying soul hangs on the truth. It's not a matter to be trifled with. It's not a matter of take it or leave it. Or you can take it or leave it. But you'll have no part with God in eternity. No part. You see, so sinners are without excuse, friends. Completely without excuse. We want to think here about Solomon and the one who is greater than Solomon. Remember, as we read there from 2 Chronicles, now Solomon asked the Lord not for riches and for wealth, but he asked him for wisdom to do what? To lead this great nation that God had delivered out of Egypt. He saw the value of this nation because they were a prized, a precious people to God. He did not want to lead these people astray. See, there was already something in the fear of God, of the fear of God in Solomon's heart, that he would not lead these people astray. Friend, do you fear God? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, as Solomon said. Fools despise truth. What does it mean when the scriptures say fools despise? That is, they play it down. You read in Hebrews concerning God's people, despise not the chastening of the Lord. To despise not the chastening of the Lord means to make light of it. Don't make light of truth. Truth is everything. If God delivered these people out of Egypt by the precious blood of the Lamb, are they not precious to God? Therefore, you don't trifle. You don't trifle with the truth. You don't trifle with God's people. You don't trifle with these things. These are things of vital importance. And what was taking place in God delivering the people from Egypt is a foreshadowing of God delivering people out of the darkness of this world and out of the clutches of Satan, who has blinded the minds, the scriptures say, of them that believe not. That's the plain assertion of scripture. That Satan, the prince of the power of the air, blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's what he did to our parents. In the Garden of Eden, the Satan entered into the serpent. He began to deceive, didn't he? To say to Eve, surely God has not said. Surely God hasn't meant what he promised. God is the God of heaven that cannot lie. And we must take heed this night. These things concern time and eternity. The Jews now, they prided themselves on the law. They prided themselves on truth. But when truth incarnate was before them, they rejected the truth. They rejected the one who was the very embodiment of the law. As you looked at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was not a single speck, not a single thing that you could say there is some inconsistency with this man and with the Word of God. Nothing. When he went about doing good, men accused him of evil. Why? It's because the human heart is evil. What are the thoughts of your heart tonight? I'm prepared to say, my heart is a sinful heart. What about you? What's your assessment of your own heart? I believe God's assessment of my heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't even know the depths of the wickedness of my own heart. But God knows it, and I believe it. Now the divinity of Christ is unquestionable. He proved it by all of these infallible proofs of the things that he did. But there were cynics in his day. And there have been cynics, and there will be cynics to the day of judgment. There will be people that try to find fault in the scriptures, but they shallow searchers, friends. There's no true searcher, because it's a problem of the heart. There are shallow, sham searchers today. There's no true seeker. It's the God that makes man a true seeker. Scriptures say, none seeketh after God. It's God's assessment. Problem is sin. And you notice, as I said in the verse 38, certain of the scribes and the Pharisees came to him saying, Master, we would see a sign from you. He says, no. No more signs. Done enough. Now, notice what he says. But he answered and said unto them, verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And here we're going to look at two things concerning the history of the Jews, which they could not escape. First of all, Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And here, friends, he's speaking about his own death, burial, and resurrection. But just as Jonah was swallowed by that great fish, you like to call it a whale, we'll call it a whale. Swallow. People think, could this ever happen? If the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. But it says Jonah was swallowed by the fish. For 3 days he was in there and he cried. He was running away from the work God had commissioned him to do. That is to preach to a Gentile people, an unbelieving, a wicked people. Why? Because he believed God's judgment should have been, and he was afraid God's judgment should have been upon those sinners. And furthermore, he was afraid himself. If God has called a man to do something, he will give him all that he needs to do the task, to do the work. That's a man of faith. But sometimes God's people, they waver and they wane. So we see this. The thing is, you see, they are looking for another miracle, but there will only be one sign given this generation now, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But will they believe? Most, by and large, didn't believe. Most of the Jews. Many did. Many did believe. Many were pricked in the heart that day of Pentecost and repented before Peter and the apostles and said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins," and so on. Many did, but by and large, the Jews today still reject their own Messiah. And they're really without excuse, because when you search the 22 books of the Old Testament in terms of the Jewish books, because you had 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Samuel, they were one book. So their 39 books, or our 39 books, equate to their 22 books. When you search the scriptures, and the Lord Jesus Christ said that they are they that testified me, the Jew is without excuse, because there is prophecy after prophecy concerning that the Son of God would be put to death. For instance, Daniel chapter 9, that he would be cut off, and that after 3 days he'd be taken up to glory. Daniel chapter 12 speaks that final day when everyone will come out of the graves and stand before Jesus Christ. And yet there were the Pharisees who denied the resurrection. There were those who denied these plain truths. They denied their own books. So don't speak about truth when men will not follow what the scriptures say. These men are looking now for signs, but all the signs, you can read of them in Isaiah 50, 35, I beg your pardon. When the Messiah would come, what would he do? The lame would walk, the blind would see. He would do all these mighty things. When John was cast down in prison, what did the Lord say? Go and tell John the things that you hear, the things that you see, how the blind see, how the lepers are cleansed, and how the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go and tell John. John was doubting, and yet he was encouraged by the word. Perhaps had a lapse in his memory. Well, the Lord here draws attention to two very distinct and significant events in the history of the nation. First of all, notice the men of Nineveh, who did what? Who repented under the preaching of Jonah, the servant of God. They repented. Judgment is coming. What did Jonah preach? God is coming to judge. And yet those people repented. They had heard, no doubt, of what God did to Jericho and the cities of old, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, what God did in the ancient flood. You know, men soon forget, as Peter says. God destroyed the ancient world by that great deluge. And they will say in his last days, "Where is the promise of his coming?" They will forget. Then he repented under Jonah's preaching. God will rise up against this wicked generation. You're asking for a sign. I've shown you all the signs, the evidences that God is, that I am the Messiah, that the scriptures speak of. And then secondly, the Queen of Sheba here, as we read there in 2 Chronicles 9, verses 1 to 8, was evidently, it seems, brought to know the Lord as a result of seeing the wisdom of Solomon. She began to seek these things. Well, the Lord's point is very straightforward here. Notice the men and women of Nineveh, they repented, and the queen of Sheba, it seems that there is some change in her heart. Whether she was truly born again, we don't know. But there was a change in her. What's more is that the men of Nineveh were Gentile people. And the queen of Sheba, what was she? Gentile. But don't make the excuse, well, I've not been raised in a Christian home. I've not had. No. The problem, you see, is the heart. Not your upbringing. Nothing like that. And the issue is, they repented. And they obeyed God. Now, if this passage teaches us anything, without equivocation, that God is absolutely sovereign in salvation, that is true. God came to the Ninevites by Jonah. And the word went out to the queen of Sheba, and she was given that special introduction. And as she saw Solomon ascend up the great stairs there, she saw how everything was done. She was given that privilege to see these things. She received them. Now God shows men his natural revelation. Every day, God reveals himself. So, well, what do you mean? Psalm 19 tells us the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night and showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You can go to Papua New Guinea. God's voice is heard in the wilderness. The flowers speak of his glory, of his power, of his excellency, of his wisdom. They know there is a God. You can go to Alaska. You can go and you can travel up north. You can see the lights, the constellations in the sky. You marvel at the things that God has created. Paul tells us in Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because what which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has shown it to creatures. Every day that there is a God. For the invisible things of him, God, from creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and God. So that they, that is man, is without excuse. Now God doesn't, while he shows men his glory and his natural revelation, God may at sundry times have his word preached to people. There the word of God is read. There the word of God is not received. Why? Again, this is a problem with man. The human heart, again, is averse to God. If man ignores natural revelation, surely he will ignore and hate special revelation, especially when God the Son comes into this world, reveals himself with all power. Do you actually think men will believe? God will not take his word to every person, but let me say this, to whom has heard, to whom much has been given, much will be required. The Lord Jesus said, did he not, concerning the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed, weren't they? How were they destroyed? By fire and brimstone. God sent down fire and brimstone God had sent angels in there to deliver Lot. And they knew all about the ancient flood, the ancient deluge, when God destroyed the earth. It was not long after, just several hundred years after. They knew this. It was inescapable. And yet they went headlong into their sin, vileness, corruption of men. The things that we hear of today in the world, the vile practices, men sinning against natural affection, men with men, woman with woman. It's terrible. But that was going on then, not long after the flood. What does that tell you? Man is wicked. He's corrupt. He's no better. God destroyed. When God the Son, the Creator, came into this world and he preached to the ancient cities, what did he say? It would be more tolerable than Sodom and Gomorrah. And for those cities that heard his preaching, human responsibility, in the day of judgment. You see, my friend? So let us not let ourselves off the hook, or anybody off the hook. The scribes stood completely and absolutely condemned before Almighty God the Son, because of their unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. While faith is a gift of God, unbelief is a sin. It's a vile sin in God's eyes. Now you'll notice something. You know this, we've read this, and we've studied this even in our evangelistic services. How the Lord describes how after he has healed this man of all these demons and his dumbness, and he couldn't speak being dumb, and he was blind. And the Lord restores all of this. And he uses it by way of illustration, what he does in terms of conversion in the heart. And how you'll notice is very interesting. Notice, after having spoken about Sodom and Gomorrah, after having spoken about the Queen of the South rising in judgment against this wicked generation because they've been seen signs and wonders, Nineveh repented. Notice what he says. He goes back to the subject of what he just did to this man. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now notice the application to what he has just said. Even so, it shall be also unto this wicked generation. You see the application. Not my application, but Christ's. These religious hypocrites, always trying to find fault with the Son of God. Give us some more evidence, please. That's all we want. All we want from you is more evidence. What does he assess their problem is? Who is the possessor of their souls? The devil. The wicked one. You religious hypocrites, it seems like the spirit, the evil spirit has departed out of the man. There's a cleanup on the outside. You have some religious affections, you have some change. But then the devil comes back. You have not been changed. You have not been converted. The heart is still the same. And he comes back. He is seven times worse than you ever were. Even so shall it be unto this wicked. Now, my friends, I know these aren't flattering words. The Lord Jesus has said in this passage, he that is not with me is against me. Did you hear that? He didn't say, he that is not with me is somehow sitting on the fence, is a neutral character. No, is actively against me. I didn't say it. There was a cry in Luke's gospel of a woman crying out from the crowd, blessed be the wombs that bear thee and the paps that gave thee suck. She was praising his mother, Mary. He said, nay, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. You see, if we will not hear God's word, we sit over God's word as some little god. As if we can write history, write world history, we can somehow sit here as little gods and tell each other how the universe came into being, how everything came to existence. What's the meaning of life? You're going to tell me? I'm going to trust you? We trust the living God who came into this world, lived for sinners, died for sinners to save them. I trust the loving God. I don't trust people that don't love me, that don't care for me. My Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that putteth his trust in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came and did a mighty work. The Queen of Sheba saw the magnificence of Solomon. God had endued him with such knowledge by the Spirit so that he could write well over 3,000 proverbs. He could tell you a fauna and fauna. These rich tycoons today that have made it in the business world, yes, they know their stuff as far as the business world goes, but they are not endued with the wisdom of God. They cannot tell you the deep and the hidden things of God, because what Solomon had was from God. It did not originate in man. What David had, the sweet psalmist, originated from God. Salvation originates from God. And it ends with God. And it ends to the glory of God. God has said, no flesh shall glory in my presence. Whatever Solomon had, he gave glory to God. Whatever David had, he gave glory to God. Now you notice, this is very interesting. After he's told us about this spirit, how the spirits come back, even worse, this man is worse off. This is how this generation is. You're just like this man. You're cleansed on the outside. My work is a once and for all work. I convert the sinner. I take him out of the kingdom of darkness and translate him into my kingdom by my power. You are doing a superficial work. You claim to love God. You claim to obey his commandments. You clean up yourself on the outside. You'll have a little bit of religion. That's all you'll have. My work is with the heart. And then he says this, while he yet talked, the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood out without desiring to speak with him. Can you imagine the scene? There's a great crowd. There's a great commotion. Vast people have gathered to see what he has done concerning this man delivered from the devils. And now he can speak and hear and see. And his family want to get in and speak to him. They think he's lost his mind. In fact, that is even quoted in the scriptures, that they would say he's beside himself. His family come desiring to speak to him. I would think that's a reasonable thing, wouldn't we? But who does the Lord Jesus value in terms of who are his family, his real family? Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren are without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. He's not putting down Mary here. He's not putting down the others, but he says, These are my real family. The point he is making is, unless you're in the family of God, you're in the family of Satan. You're in the family of darkness. Because you hold down the truth. The Queen of Sheba, you can imagine her. She went to see Solomon. My, this woman, she had a whole empire to watch over. You say, well, maybe she was a busy woman. Yes, but she took the time. She made the effort. She traveled a vast, vast difference to see Solomon. And that is the point. Does truth matter to you? If it really matters to you, you will give your soul no rest. No rest, friend, until you seek the truth. The scriptures say, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because, my friend, he is not going to be near forever. Seek him with all your heart. Because there's a day where this Lord Jesus has said, he will say to many, Depart from me. I never knew. All you did was play at religion. There was nothing earnest. These men, that's what they were doing. They were playing at a religion. They were happy being entertained by the Lord Jesus. Let's see another miracle. Let's see a sign. Looking in earnest, but they were not. They were cynics. My dear friends, the Lord searches every heart. Comes to him. The scriptures say, He searcheth the heart. He trieth the reins. God searches by his Spirit tonight. What does he see? He knows what he sees. But are you self-deceived as these religious hypocrites thought they were clean? It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, how he heals this man amidst all of this. And they somehow see themselves to be better than this man. He says, your entire generation are like this. You really have an evil spirit. Clean yourself up. You imagine yourself to be good. But you know what? Seven times the worse. The end of it all. God is not mocked. The scriptures say, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Let us sow to the Spirit. Let us ask God to reveal the things of Jesus Christ. Let us come with an honest heart. Seek it. I have prepared a lot more to say. The sermon's taken a different course than I desired, but I believe I've said the Lord has wanted me to say this evening as we've come to this passage. May the Lord help us. Humble us if we have been changed by the grace of God. We take no pride in who we are, what we are. We are what we are by the grace of God. And the grace of God in us now is not in vain. God has made us to differ. We want you to know that. You who are not Christians. God has shed the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ into our hearts. And you know God is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Think of this time of year when many people mark this time. How do we know that God is coming again to judge the living and the dead? Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ points us to that. In Acts chapter 17, the apostle tells us he's there on Mars Hill preaching to the Athenians. And they've got an idol on every street corner, in every place. Superstitious people. And the world is like, I'll cover all my bases. And he finds a superscription to the unknown God. Paul says, I want you to know who this unknown God is. You don't know who he is, but I know who he is. He's the one God that has made many nations by one blood. God is coming to judge this world in righteousness by the one man whom he has appointed. And who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, he's given assurance of this, friends, by raising him from the dead. How and why was he raised from the dead? Well, it was the Father's will that he should be put to death on account of his people, that he should suffer and that he should die, just as we've read here. This is the sign. This is the sign of Jonas, that just as Jonas was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights, even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. No other sign. How did he rise? Have you ever got this? Because he had no sin of his own. The scriptures say the wages of sin is death. But because the Lord Jesus had no sin of his own, the grave could not hold him. He could not be beholden of it. And because he is sinless, and because he is creator, he will be judged. Because he was sinless, he will be savior of all who repent and believe. That's God's promise. God who cannot lie. This is marvelous. This is the stone which the builders rejected. Men have rejected Christ. Men have rejected Christ's word. But the Lord Jesus, we are reminded that men that reject this stone will crush men to powder. Paul's own words. The very men that reject this stone be crushed to powder. But they that believe upon this stone, he will be their rock in this life. He will be their salvation. He will be their glory in heaven forever and forever. The Queen of the South made a long journey. Friends, you have the scriptures. Search them out. Ask God to search your own soul tonight. May you be in earnest. May God give you no rest until you truly seek the Lord. Amen. May God bless his word for his name's sake.